I was so broken that I just kind of like peeled the Bible open through snot and tears. Like, God, I've come to you for my spiritual wisdom here, but I know you're a God of practicality. You're a God of the natural as well as the spiritual. I need something. I need it. Now I need your wisdom.
Yeah.
And he honored me for seeking him instead of all of these, you know, diet gurus. And and this verse blew up in my face. It was almost like fireworks beyond. And it was so poetic. It was this verse in Deuteronomy that I'll just basically paraphrase it. I give you the herb of the field, the harvest of the field, sorry, the fat of the ram, the milk of the goat, the blood of the grape. It went through all the food groups so beautifully. And it says, and I will make you ride on the high places. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not on a high place right now. I'm totally broken. You know, I'm undone. But he labeled all these food groups and said, I give it to you. And this is how you'll flourish. And it was like light bulb inclusion, celebrating all his food, you know, in their clean and whole sources. But with the diet dogma, we've always been about exclusion, demonizing certain things that God gave as gifts and that God called good. So I ran over to Pearl's house. I'm like, Pearl, look at this. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and that's really how it all began. We made a pact with ourselves
that day
that we would never call something bad that God called good.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to what's going to be an incredibly special, empowering episode of Live Your Best Life. This week with me, of course, Liz Wright, and my special guest joining me for today's conversation. Most of you guys know that I am really passionate about all of us moving into optimum health, spirit, soul, and body. I look after myself, and these two women, these two sisters are honestly two of the most empowering, inspirational, hope-filled, knowledgeable women that I have ever had the privilege of meeting. And I've been diving into their content. Between them, they've got 19 children. Amazing women. They're co-founders of Trim and Healthy Mamas Movement with now over 1 million members. They're multiple New York Times best-selling authors, and their latest book, which is so needed by all of us, is called Trim and Healthy Wisdom, and it's life-changing, honestly. So you are going to be super empowered by today's conversation with Serene and Pearl. I am so blessed to welcome you into the conversation with me.
Oh, we're delighted to be here. And with the children thing,
we do have our own husbands. We want to clear that up.
She's to blame for most of those. So you had 9 biological and then she adopted.
Yeah,
so I only have 5. Wow. So,
oh my, you only have 5.
We sound like we're in the cult, but you know, we might just slide just under the cult radar, just a little bit.
Okay, I wanted to do a deep dive into your background, like your journey, really. Sort of you started out in the music industry, the Christian music industry, and then you now are leading a worldwide movement, a wellness movement. So tell us a little bit about how you got there.
Well, I think we've always been homebodies. So we didn't really love the road life, the music life, as much as we just loved, you know, playing and singing together, playing guitar and singing together. So, you know, we moved home pretty quick once we started having our babies. And then it was like, how do we take care of a family now and healthfully and protect our waistlines that were going out and in, you know, how many times we had these babies. It was like, oh, this is such a vulnerable time. We really wanted to get to the crux of what is the ultimate way of sustaining health as a woman through all the ages and stages and a family at the same time while keeping sanity.
But I think it goes much earlier than that, right? Okay. Because we grew up, we're third generation, what we call crunchy, meaning our mother before us was like grinding bread, you know, grinding flour for bread. And
well, before it was trendy.
Yeah. Like, and then her mother before her, they were like what you call health freaks, right? And so we were born into this. And so all we remember growing up with were books by diet authors, by doctors, whatever was latest, we had access to it because our mom and our grandma were kind of just interested in eating healthy. And it was great in so many ways, but it was really problematic in other ways because we got so much wisdom of men imbibed into us. Like, you know, what's the latest diet? What's it going to do for you? What are the bad foods you shouldn't eat? So we kind of grew up just
with diet dogma.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of like by default. So we'd tried all of the stuff. We'd gotten on all the trains and really at the end of it, we kind of were spat out, done and broken. I had spent over a decade being a raw food vegan, which like I'd, you know, kicked out the ovens out of my house and I had like 12 dehydrators whirring with birdseed, you know. Oh, it was crazy. My poor man.
I understand.
For the long haul. We tried them for extreme seasons and we went through the honeymoon period. All of the diets we tried had a beautiful honeymoon period of a few years. Mm. And then because they're not wisdom of God, the wisdom of man, they don't sustain you. And we would end up being more broken, our metabolism more wrecked and our body more undone.
Yes, we both got
to the state completely done. I remember I was facing a hysterectomy, a surgery, and I looked up, you know, what is the ultimate diet? I had uterine fibroids to get rid of uterine fibroids. And it said, you should eat a plant-based diet. Well, I'm like, I've been doing that for the last decade, people. And now I'm facing surgery because of doing some. I was just so broken. Then I tried keto. Then I, whatever was around, I'm like, I was like, what am I going to do?
And I had, you know, had many, many pregnancies and nursed through the night on these extreme diets. And one day I was just so broken. I was so broken that I just kind of like peeled the Bible open through snot and tears. Like, God, I've come to you for my spiritual wisdom here, but I know you're a God of practicality. You're a God of the natural as well as the spiritual. I need something. I need it now. I need your wisdom.
Yeah.
And he honored me for seeking him instead of all of these, you know, diet gurus. And and this verse blew up in my face. It was almost like fireworks beyond. And it was so poetic. It was this verse in Deuteronomy that I'll just basically paraphrase it. I give you that, you know, the herb of the field, the harvest of the field, sorry, the fat of the ram, the milk of the goat, the blood of the grape. It went through all the food groups so beautifully. And it says, and I will make you ride on the high places. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not on a high place right now. I'm totally broken. You know, I'm undone. But he labeled all these food groups and said, I give it to you. And this is how you'll flourish. And it was like light bulb inclusion, celebrating all his food, you know, in their clean and whole sources. But with the diet dogma, we'd always been about exclusion and demonizing certain things that God gave as gifts and that God called good. So I ran over to Pearl's house. I'm like, Pearl, look at this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And that's really how it all began. We made a pact with ourselves
that day
that we would never call something bad that God called good and designed for our bodies to take in. And so we said, and we said it to God. We're like, okay, we're going to say it to ourselves. I'm going to say it to God. We're not going to shun what he made for our bodies.
And we know it's a fallen world and we know there's food sensitivities and then there's deeper, you know, food allergies, you know, almost to anaphylactic. So we're like, okay, we know that we're not going to demonize these things because God meant them for our bodies. We're in a fallen world. So we're going to not label them as bad. We're going to try and heal our bodies, you know, heal our microbiome so we can handle what he calls good. Try and find the cleanest and best sources. But walk out of issues instead of like claim these foods are.
But, and we're going long here and we'll kind of nutshell how it all kind of came to this.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
We started like eating all these food groups together, like all the things that we thought were bad earlier. We were having them. And then I was like, I can't pull up my jeans. What's going on here? I was gaining weight. And
health at the same time.
Yeah, I was feeling good. And I was like, I was gaining substantial weight. And I was like, oh my goodness, hold on here. I said to God, like, I'm eating your food groups, you know. I'm glad I'm healthy, but do you want me to be healthy and fat or just healthy? Which one? Because I'm determined not to throw these things out. Mm. And so we just went on this kind of what we call guinea pig, just really deep research on how our bodies are made and how we can eat these food groups, but at the same time remain trim and healthy. And that's really where this all started. And, you know, thousands of people have, actually millions have come to this way of eating, and they're not all Christians, but they yeah. all have heard that scripture and it resonated deep in their soul.
And that way yeah. of eating all of the food groups and being able to lose weight has worked for millions, but we're not necessarily landing there and saying that's the way to eat. Because I do believe, you know, when our metabolisms are healed and we're not so insulin resistant, yeah. we don't have to like be so finicky about separating fuels and how yeah. we do it. We can just eat the food God gave, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we're in a little bit of a broken world. People have, you know, pre-diabetes and they can't necessarily burn all through that food fuel at once. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. the story behind the story.
That's just so good. It's so good. It's liberating. Listening to your content and reading your content, it is very liberating, isn't it? The way that you communicate, it brings us back into a place of simplicity and peace and wisdom. Because like what you know, I love what you said, you know, you in the end, broken, you went back to God and said, what's your wisdom? Because that was what I wanted to ask you next, really, was for people who find that they're in information overload, the whole area of food, how we achieve optimum wellness, how are we supposed to live? Like, what would you say is the biblical perspective on it? How are we supposed to live and steward ourselves?
Well, I feel like it's such a good question and a timely one, because back then when we, you know, discovered God's way and abandoned all of man's wisdom about it all, there wasn't like influencers coming on our news feeds every 8 seconds and saying, you know, plants are going to kill you, or this is bad and oxalates are bad and lectins and
it's so confusing. Yeah.
No, you know, even the church, it's, I mean, you can just turn around and suddenly be scared of good foods because yeah. we're told they're not fit for humans.
We're taught to eat like a cat, you know, and have like intermittent fasting windows where you like a hunter would, you know, a hunting animal would go and have a big meat feast and then not eat for hours and hours and hours, which is more like a cat's metabolism. And we're told yeah. to eat like grok, where, you know, you only yeah. eat what you can bang on the head, but not necessarily harvest and cultivate. And so a lot of it's not scriptural. It's very paleoethic. It's very, it's not creation.
Yeah. And yeah. so yeah. I think the question is, well, what is God's way to eat?
Yeah.
Well, it's so peaceful and it gets rid of that fear, because he designed our body that whoever that doctor is in the white coat saying plants will kill you, he didn't create our bodies. God did. So we turn right. back to the scriptures and he said, and I give you the greens, I give you the plants for your good. Done deal. I mean, done deal for me. We just recently wrote Trim Healthy Wellness, a biblical guide. And we basically laid scripture over every modern diet and just, you know, where does this diet end up after scripture has been laid over it? And that's kind of what we do in our life. You know, whenever we come to a new, you know, something we hear on these 8 second reels, we're like, okay, let's look at scripture. All right. No, you know, that's, you're saying grains are inflammatory. Well, maybe modern grains all messed up by Monsanto, but grains, ancient grains that God gave, no, he calls it a gift. Yeah, well, know? What about like yeah. Jesus to eat?
So good.
Meat causes cancer. Well, let's see what God says about meat.
He came and he ate it himself. If it's good enough for his intestines, it's good enough for mine.
It's so peaceful. It's just, I'm so thankful and grateful we have that word to turn to. I don't know what other people do. I'd go insane as a researcher.
Yeah, it is. There's an overwhelm of information and people are there. That's what I love about what you're doing. You cut through the noise and you bring wisdom and it is peaceable. I'm reading your content going, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's right.
I'd like to say one more thing to answer your question too. It's a very, very good question. You know, what does God think and say about how we should show up in our health?
Yeah.
I think God cares a lot about it, more than the modern church thinks, because there is a thought process that's seeped into the church that says it's vanity, it's self-worship to care about
the way you look or feel or your physical health. It's just about the inner man. And that's so true. It's so true. The inner man is the most important. But God has given us this tent, you know, and he says to run our race, you know, and to run our race well. But how can we when God has purposes and plans and our body is giving up at 40?
Yeah.
You know, I love it in the Bible. It says, is it Caleb? It said, yeah, let me take the high country.
Was it Joshua?
Let me take the high country now that I'm 80. I'm stronger than I was when I'm 40. Like, give me the high country. And that's this passion that I have in me. And I feel like it's a God-given passion. No, I'm going to run this race well for you, but I have to, like, look after the tent you've given me so it can stay for the long haul. And, you know, even scriptures and, like, Job, you know, talking about the war horse. And God describes the horse and the strength of the horse. And he's kind of proud of it, right? He's like, and, you know, and talks about the flanks and the muscles. Sorry, girl.
She's like slurping at
the drinks.
And it's like, he's proud of his creation. It's like, look at this war horse that I've made. And I wonder sometimes if he looks down on earth and says, look at this humanity that I've made in my image.
Yeah.
And then you look out and you see these people that look worn down and pallid skin and just feeling like they can hardly walk around in this beautiful tent that God's given us. And I wonder what he thinks. And I'm thinking that he feels sad because he has so much more vitality, so much more abundance that he wants for us to experience while we're about his kingdom business.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you both as well, in the stewardship of yourselves as, you know, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I see health as stewardship, as an act of worship, just as gratitude. You know, I'm so thankful that I've been given this life and this body to be able to do his will through, you know, in this earth journey, which is an amazing gift. And I want to grow in wisdom and learn how to do that really well and empower and equip other people, body, soul, and spirit. So I wanted to ask you both, because I know for you both, spiritual well-being is like foundational for you. So you're looking at the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. What are some of the biblical practices or principles that you apply in your life as like foundational health? So I know I was reading something that you wrote about taking every thought captive, for example, the connection between thinking and physical well-being, you know, how our belief system will affect our biochemistry and so on. And so I thought this is obviously a way you live. So I want to glean from your wisdom for everybody. What are the principles that you adopt?
Well, for me, I think really I am still walking that out. It's daily. Yesterday I was reminding myself of the scripture that we've all heard, right? And sometimes we take for granted that a merry heart is medicine to the body. And, you know, and I had stress yesterday and they were real. And I'm just like, but can't I just not be merry, you know? but, you know, and David reminded himself, why so downcast on my soul? You know, why have you got a downcast countenance? Put your hope in God. Mm. And these things are for our health. They're clearly for our health, the Bible said. And now science is just completely undergirding them and saying, no, that's true. That ancient wisdom, that's absolutely true. And so for me, gratitude is just the thing that turns me back into that place where I know I'm healthiest when I'm grateful. First of all, I want to be grateful because it's a great place to live, for my relationships, for, you know, my walk with God, but for my health too. And so you can't be grateful and resentful at the same time. You have to choose one.
So for me
that's just my go-to. That's the simplest thing. Pearl, are you being great? Are you out of gratefulness right now? Return. Love God because he asks us to return over and over, and he always accepts us. And for me, I have to find myself returning to that and living in that, not just being grateful, but living in gratitude.
I love that too.
I would say practicing God's peace is a big one for me. My name is Serene, you know.
Yes,
I feel like God wants me to be
a peaceful person. He wants us all to be peaceful people. Yeah. But maybe he knew I would struggle with it. And that's why it's my namesake. But tranquility, I feel like sometimes I find myself just getting caught up in anxiety and just in negative loops. And I really love the practice of peace. And it's kind of like a fun game for me to practice peace. I wash myself in his peace. I kind of like imagine him, you know, inside of me in the secret place, and then it just kind of oozing out. And I imagine it washing over my organs of my body and renewing them, and then renewing my mind. And so I do a lot of imagination work with the Holy Spirit, you know, practicing his peace and kind of just floating around in his peace. So I have these little things that I'm doing inside of my head. No one knows I'm doing. They just think I'm just maybe like got normal head noise, but I spend times in my day where I just practice peace. I want to walk into what God has called me to be. But it's a daily, it's a daily thing. And sometimes it's even a battle for me, but I don't see that as a negative, because I feel like when we battle, we're actually becoming really strong in that thing. I don't feel like it's a weakness when I battle. I feel like, oh, this is fantastic. I'm getting muscles with peace, you know? And I like to practice the other fruits of the Spirit too. It just feels like I always back to the foundation for me is always peace. I feel like God is trying to teach me something in that and really anchor me in Him. So that's a lot of what I do, my inner work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Also, you know, to in that, to find that stillness in God too, to find that place that's just kind of like beneath all of the head noise. And so I have a picture of that in my head. You know, I have a picture of myself laying in the arms of God, and I just lay there where I just give up. And in my imagination, all of my muscles are at rest. My mind is at rest. Everything's at rest. And I just lay there. And I often go to that picture a lot in my head too. It's just kind of like that. I'm abandoned to you, Lord, you know?
Yeah.
So that is some of the things de-stress with.
Yeah.
It's more than all of the stuff that the world says to de-stress with, right? Because his is more powerful.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, and you're letting go into the reality of his presence, aren't you? His spirit within you. I love the language that you use then. And just, I could feel his presence when you were speaking, actually, just as I could feel his peace while you were talking about just resting and seeing his peace moving through your cells. I mean, it's real, isn't it? That's a real spiritual experience that we can live from every day, that releases a chemical cascade through our whole physical, our whole being, that is transformational, you know? And so these spiritual practices, the ancient wisdom, right, of the scriptures, does bring us into optimum health. And I love it, like the ways of thankfulness, forgiveness, you know, letting go and trusting him, which is obviously what you were talking about then as well, just trusting him as a way of life. So you're not holding the responsibility and the weight of life. Is just, yeah, game changing. That's how I, in a similar way, that's how I live as well. I start my mornings like that with him, so that I'm moving out into the day from that place of rest. So good. Okay, so on a practical level, for people, because I know in your new book, you focus a lot of attention on people who've hit their 40s and beyond, who have started to notice that they're no longer in the same body experience. Having been there myself, I'm like, oh, this is rude. Why am I gaining weight? Why am I not sleeping? Why am I hot all night? etc. So I thought that would be for a lot of you guys watching. I know this will be super helpful. I wanted to ask you to speak into the season change of our life and how we can start to steward ourselves practically as we begin to notice that our bodies are not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. Can you speak into that?
Yeah. I think Once again, it's all perspective this season, right? So it's all how we look at it. It is a season of a decline in hormones, but it doesn't mean it has to be a season of decline, because I believe it's, you know, God's a creator, and he's so creative, and he's a contender. And that's what I believe he's called us to be. So naturally,
as we get older, especially as women, well, we lose bone minerals, we lose muscle mass, we lose hormones, we lose we lose volume in our brain. Now, for me, and I've wrestled with this as a Christian, I was like, well, hold on, you know, this is my season. Should I just embrace it? And all, this is the way of things, you know, I'm on the path to old age. And but then I thought, you know, there was a certain man in the Bible who kind of wrestled with God, and he said, I will not give up. And that's just what right. I'm like. I'm not going to, God has blessed me with these years, and I'm not going to go down saying, let my muscles atrophy, let my bones atrophy. No.
Yeah, we're not trying to be immortal or chase no. any weird like stage of 18 years old, but we really feel like we're to be after life yeah. in every way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In every way it says, I put for you life and death. Choose life so that you and yeah. your seed may live. And I feel like I'm to choose life spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every area. To choose life at every snack, at every meal, to choose life when I walk in to the gym, like to choose yep. life, I'm going to contend for life. That is my journey. And yeah. You know, I
absolutely
feel like
agree.
If you say I'm going to embrace this stage, I'm going to embrace my old age. And I think there's beauty to embrace the old years. Like I want to embrace that and the wisdom in that. But you'd have to choose to like not wear glasses, to not crown your teeth, to not like, cause that is all just kind of preserving yourself as you age. So
yeah,
it's to the same mindset. Like I restore my hormones because I'm going to put glasses on too, yeah. you know, I'm going to, or contacts one day, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So for us, we're all about this time. Let's do the things that combat, that actually reverse these things that are happening to us. So, you know, we lose our muscles as we age. So what brings them back? Well, it's strength training. And yeah. I'm a person, you know, yes, mm-hmm. protein. And I'm a person who was always like, oh, I hate exercise, and I'd just do my little bit. But once I realized my muscles and bones were in full decline, I'm like, I can see a future here where I'm a little hunched over woman who can't play with my grandchildren. I have 8 grandchildren. Do I want that? I don't want that. And I have
changed your identity.
Changed my identity. I'm that woman who's strong. I envision myself tossing, you know, my grandbabies around and, you know, come on, let's go. And so I adopted strength training, which builds not only muscles back, but bone mineral density back. And there are things we can do. You know, we tweaked our diets a little bit to bring the fulfillment of what our body needs during these times. And the needs are a bit more. And that's mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you tweak. Okay. So give us a few more keys there. I mean, I agree with you, and I need to do more strength training. I'm a walker. I love walking, but yeah, definitely need to up my game with the strength training. Yeah. But I agree with what you said. I think it's beautiful what you just shared. You choosing life. You know, let's see how much life we can actually receive from Holy Spirit yeah. and operating in the ways of wisdom and stewardship. So yeah, can you share a few more with us, because it's super empowering
for
people.
We never want to like put it where we don't walk anymore. Walking is a huge part of every day for Pearl and I. We love walking. Is to us our mental health as well. Yeah. You know, it's where we do a lot of our gratefulness and a lot of our you know, talking with the Lord and just even listening to podcasts. And it's just a nice time of clarity. But we don't consider it training. Mm-hmm. A walk. So we like to train at least 3 days a week. So it doesn't have to be where you're like boot camping it and it's like, oh, this is not sustainable. And I'm just like, it makes me nervous even thinking of the next week and I have to do. No, it's just like at least 3 times a week we get in there and lift heavy.
Hmm. And heavy is different for everyone. Yeah. But like, well, where do I start? What's heavy? I mean, when I first started, as I said, I'd lost a lot of muscle mass just from hormone decline,
your
menopause.
Own body
my own body. So just learning the moves, and Serene's different to me. She's much more athletic. And so she, you know, she loves to get in the gym for an hour. I'm like, half hour limit, I'm going to make this work. And so I'm very simple, but the strength I have gained is incredible. I'm lifting things I never thought I could. I'm walking straighter. I'm feeling better. My metabolism is hot. I can burn through food and
add more calories.
Wow. It's from just strength incredible. Training.
And that's
wow.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because
I have to have like raw milk smoothies of egg yolks in it just to keep the weight on now with the strength training.
Well, because why?
Wow.
What's our metabolism? Our lean body mass is our metabolism. And when we lose it, you know, after the age of 40, it goes downhill like a freight train. Mm-hmm. Unless we bring it back, we'll just have to go lower and lower and lower in calories all the time. But instead, bringing that muscle back, and, you know, I certainly don't look like Incredible Hulk, and neither does Serene, but we become fiery furnaces again for burning food. And it's just, it's fun. It's incredible. And really, it hasn't been a lot of work.
We have cleaner, more open cupboards. Our muscles are these cupboards, and they're open up saying, give me some fuel. Give me the blood sugar. Give me the food fuel, because I will burn it up and I will use it. But these days, you know, a lot of women over 40 that haven't looked after their muscles, their cupboards have shrunk. They're smaller, and they're also striated with fat deposits. Just happens as we age. And then so they're kind of gummied up, and they can't really open up and say, yeah, I want that blood sugar. But they're resistant to the insulin. That's the insulin resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that just means, in other words, a lower metabolism. And so how do we get that higher metabolism? We strength train, but we also eat the foods that we need at this age, which is protein, especially lean protein. But protein at every meal, we say 25 to 30 grams.
At least 4 servings of protein a day.
And I don't know what it's like in the UK, but most American women are getting under 50 grams of protein a day. Mm-hmm. And no wonder their metabolisms are sinking.
But we're not psychos over concentrating on protein, because that's not good either. We need plenty of room on our plate for wisdom, which is lots of veggies, which actually scrub out those fat striations in our muscles. And we want to have plenty of gentle carbohydrates, not the spiking blood sugar type, but the gentle kind, because we need energy for the gym. We need energy for life. Carbohydrates, they actually keep us thin as we get older. And they sing lullabies to our thyroid and our adrenals. And so we need room on our plate for all that. So we're not just going to sit down to chicken breast and chicken breast and chicken breast and jerky and jerky and jerky.
Yeah. So you have balance, but everything's whole food, isn't it? It's everything's natural that you're eating. The body recognizes it as food, in other words. But I love that. That's one simple key that we can all do. The weight training has such a dramatic impact on the metabolism, which is then affects every aspect of our health.
And and you know what? I started with, I'm up to half an hour, and it's great for me. I started with 10 minutes.
Yeah,
10 minutes, 3 times a week.
Baby steps.
And if that's all you can start with, it's perfect. It's fantastic. You're just going to start there and continue. And it's a journey. You know?
And it's best to start small because you want to get the moves down. You want the right form so you don't injure yourself. We learned the hard way about getting too gusto. Our personality is, you know,
yours especially.
Yeah. And so we've learned with our body, when our body's ready for the next step, we'll move up. We're not going to
You know, it's a beautiful journey. I'm 54 now, and I look at it like, hey, my next 50 years, like I'm maybe God will give me more than that, but I look at it as a beautiful journey where I don't have to sprint and race and get all anxious about this health journey. I've got time. Let me give it patience, but just let me really give it my, you know, my focus too.
And I love what you said, patience, because getting in the gym for a few weeks.
And when you say gym, this could be at home.
Yeah. Oh, we just stay home. But getting in the, you know, home gym or wherever you're going to go for a few weeks, that's not going to turn you into a burning body.
No.
It's the stickability. It's you wake up one day down the track and you're like, oh, wow, I actually need to eat more to keep this weight. Or I'm actually losing weight so quickly this way. I need to – you'll become a burner. And we love to concentrate on becoming a burning body, not for people to concentrate on the number on the scale, because we're not about weight loss.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that is muscle.
Yeah,
we're about becoming a burning body, and that burning body will burn excess inflammatory fat. And you'll wake up one day and say, "Well, that was just icing on the cake. I just was concentrating on becoming a burning body." And all of a sudden, that fat that needed to go for me to be healthy, we're not talking skinny, but to be healthy, will have just melted off in time.
Yeah,
the slower the better.
With the consistent baby steps, I just love it. And then your mind begins to be clear and you can sleep again and so forth, and the body comes back into balance and strength. I love it. I could talk to you both for hours and hours and hours. Thank you. Okay, just in finishing, I just want to ask this quick question. So for those of the family listening around the world that are like, okay, I know I've fallen off a cliff. I'm like in a mess. What are the first few baby steps they can take just to get going on the journey? What would you say? Simple 1, 2, 3 steps to shift and get unstuck.
I mean, I think the first thing, and this is where we have everyone start, you start with breakfast. Don't skip it. Your body needs that protein fuel in the morning to steady your blood sugar. And they've found studies that people who skip breakfast, not only do they struggle with metabolism more, but they burn blood sugar not as effectively in the next meal. It's called the second meal effect. And so we're actually burners in the morning. That's when the human body really burns food. So start with breakfast. Give yourself that 25 to 30 grams of protein. Make it yummy. Maybe it's eggs. Maybe it's Greek yogurt. Maybe it's, you know, oatmeal.
And put a gentle carb in there because you actually metabolize carbohydrates better during the day if you've had some carbs in the morning.
Yeah. So that's just a brilliant way to start.
We have 7 simple steps that we've put our health program it, the physical attributes of it, into 7 just easy steps.
They're skills, really.
Yeah, skills. 7 skills. And they're just basic, and we have a link just for this podcast, right?
Yeah, we have an ebook. It's called Trim Healthy Wellness, and that's where we lay the Bible over these current diets to see if they measure up. And then we just give 7 simple skills, and when you do them, everything changes. And we love skills
so
because
good.
Skills are not perfection. Skills you can really mess
You're meant
up
to be bad at first. You know, like when you first start learning when my children started learning the violin at first, it's like, oh, this is pain, this is terrible, you know. But you get better. People get better with practice makes skills better. So if you think in the beginning, that's good, that's normal, right?
Yeah, so we'll put
so
a link
good.
To this just for your listeners and viewers, and it's
brilliant.
So simple. It makes so much sense because God designed our bodies and it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, we just flow with his wisdom and it all works. We move into optimum health, ultimately, optimum state. Yeah, the link, guys, you'll be able to find the link to everything so you can get all information from Pearl and Serene underneath the show. Oh, ladies, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for all you're doing for all of us to get us into brilliant health, and forgiveness, your precious time.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been honored to be here. Yes. You're such a peaceful person.
Yes. Oh, it's one of my priorities too. Thank you. I practice it as well. So important.
Yay.
Oh, and guys, thank you for giving us your precious time too. We pray that you have the most beautiful week. And if you are stuck with your health, that you will now shift forward and just begin that journey of transformation, body, soul, and spirit, and move into the fullness of who you were created to be. Have an amazing week. See you next week. God bless.
Jesus said to me, if I would create a space for him, he would come. And he has. We now have people from all over the world as part of what has now become known as the International Mentoring Community, gathering together at his feet every week, and he is moving powerfully. And I want to invite you to come on this amazing journey together with us. Come and join the IMC.